All right, we're back on One True Podcast, the video version. John Warner, Bryce Cherry, alongside our special guest, Brian Crown, over this week. Glad to have you, Brian.
Thank you.
Tony Adame is out of town, and so we've graciously invited Brian to join us, talk a little Big 12 and Baylor football.
First, I want to ask, Brian, where's your plaid?
Yes.
I know, I didn't get the
Yes,
the
you didn't get the memo, that's man. Fault. You gotta wear the plaid.
Yeah.
I'm sponsored by Under Armour, so I'm contractually
obliged. Okay. Gotcha. Right, so, guys, Baylor has endured all kinds of distractions, you know, this year. Everything from rogue band performances to details of more sexual assault allegations coming out. We've had just really a distraction every week. And last Saturday, it all seemed to come to a head. The Bears really didn't even show up against TCU. You know, it led to a 40-point loss at home to what we had all kind of deemed a very average Horned Frog team. Very surprising. I mean, what do you make of this game, and has the season spiraled out of control for Baylor?
Well, I picked them by 2 touchdowns to beat TCU.
Right.
And they lost, what, by about 6?
Yeah.
Pretty close to that anyway.
I mean, it was shocking.
It really was, but the sideshow became the show.
Right.
Really. I mean, and it really started Friday night with the coaches tweeting out their support of, you know, former coach Art Briles. And then it just kept magnifying. I mean, the CAB shirts, Coach Art Briles shirts that were sold outside the stadium, a lot of people were wearing them. Apparently some of the players were wearing CAB bandanas. So, you know, I just don't think they were focused at all for the game. And it showed. And TCU yeah. played very well. But as far as spiraling out of control, we'll see this week. I mean, you know, that's a pretty tough place to try to regroup in Norman. So, but, you know, if they play a decent game and have a little more focus, you know, I think they could maybe get things back together. But I think it's kind of up in the air right now.
Right. It's like you said, it's not an easy place to go and right the ship, you know, not in Norman, Oklahoma. Brian, we've talked about it a little bit this week. You've been working on a piece actually about this, but really an unnecessary distraction for Baylor.
What is it? And you look at the T-shirts being sold outside the stadium that, in my opinion, don't make a whole lot of sense. I think it was sold by the alumni, too, people that are supposed to be there to support the product on the field. And all that's doing is making it worse. You know, they're hanging flags inside of the stadium that say CAB, like you said, a few of the players, which I don't know what that was about. But it just seems like they started playing better Big 12 teams, and it's just gotten worse and worse every week. You know, the crowd at UT kind of hammered them. The week leading up to the TCU game, like you said, there's so many more distractions, and it seems it's getting worse and worse each week. You know, these kids are 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids, and they're just having a hard time dealing with it now. And I think TCU came in and out-coached them and just honestly popped them in the mouth.
Yeah, and, you know, it like we said, it was an unnecessary distraction. I've said for a while now, I'm not going to tell Baylor fans how to feel about Art Briles. It's up to them how they want to feel. I wrote a column back when he was fired basically saying I thought the firing was justified. Mm-hmm. But if you want to you know, still hang on to Art Briles' memories and what he did for Baylor, that's you know, your prerogative. But you've got to understand he's not coming back. He's not coming back, so you've got to move on. And because all it's doing right now is taking away the focus and making you look tone deaf to the rest of the country.
Well, you know, part of that, the CAB shirts was in response to some Board of Regents coming out and,
right.
you know, and saying Briles didn't handle the sexual assault investigation right. But I don't think the outside of Waco people really see that.
Right.
That those shirts were made, you know, kind of against the Board of Regents. I mean, they just see it as supporting Briles and not paying attention to the sexual assault victims.
Yeah.
But it's dividing everyone, though, is my point. I mean, it's straight. look, everybody knows he didn't handle it correctly. I mean, that's been obvious since day one. I mean, whether you're on the Browse bandwagon or whatever, the other side, but I mean, all it's doing is dividing everyone. And I think as the season goes along and you start playing harder teams,
right,
I think it's clearly going to be hard to push away those distractions. And when your own alumni and your own coaches and even some of the players, I mean, you're bringing it upon yourself to do this stuff. And, you know, and they still got to play four really good teams. And I don't know if it's just going to spiral out of control, but, I mean, best case scenario, you win probably nine games and –
There's
that's
a better
be really
way.
Hard to do.
There's a better way to demand more information from the regions,
sure,
and you know, show your support for the coaches that came before than that way. I mean, it, like we said, it's taking focus away from the game. It certainly seems to have distracted the team because they've gone in the tank. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it certainly begs the question whether the assistant coaches are still invested. And I asked that question to Jim Grobe this week, and whether, you know, that affected recruiting. Because in my mind, what's the motivation for these guys to go out and recruit when their, you know, their future here is very uncertain? Probably they're not coming back, these assistant coaches. This was Jim Grobe's answer to that question on Monday at the press conference.
Well, I don't think there's any question that our coaches care about our kids and invested in our kids. We've talked about it. I think that our focus needs to be on these kids. You know, that's our responsibility. That's what we should be doing. I think our staff feels that way. I do think that recruiting is just basically on hold right now. I mean, there's not much we can.
So he says recruiting is on hold, you know, and where he continued to go with that was, look, kids are not going to commit early to a program when they don't know the coach that's going to be in place in the future. So how much of a setback do you think this is going to be for Baylor's recruiting? And how long will it take to get back to the level of some of Browse's best recruiting classes?
Well, they've got two commitments for 2017.
Right.
So I'd say this year they're just going to have to get kind of leftover guys the last couple months once the new staff comes in. And after that, I think a lot of it just depends on the staff, the coach. I mean, how excited recruits are about the new coach. You know, Mac Rhodes, Baylor's AD, has said they'll bring in a similar style of offense. So I think that will help. But a lot of it's just going to depend on the coach, the staff, and maybe if anything else happens to Baylor, if there's any sanctions or anything like that, that could certainly affect recruiting.
Yeah.
But it's I think it's going to take a while. To get back.
It took a while for Briles to get
sure.
to the level of recruiting class that he got to. I mean, it took, what, 8 years? I mean...
Yeah, to get real high level, a bunch of high level recruits. He'd get a few here
right,
and there, like
right.
RG3, guys like that.
But they did a lot of scouting of guys like the Kendall Wrights that were more overlooked.
Yeah.
You know, and they turned out to be great players.
Right.
So Baylor may have to do more of that.
Sure.
I think they do have one advantage, I think, like John said, I'll expand on that. 17s, I mean, you're kind of just
that's a punt.
What you got, yeah. You're playing with what you have now, basically, in 17 with a few extra guys. But they do have a better stadium, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
They have way better facilities. They do have the Baylor of the old, where kids, I still think, like
yeah.
the uniforms. And I know that
mm-hmm.
sounds crazy, but that's
no,
a big deal
that's a
these
thing,
days.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to take as long as it took Briles to get it. I think, like you said, he got lucky with Kendall Wright, I think. Terrence Williams, I think, was a two-star recruit, turned out to be
mm-hmm.
plays with the Cowboys now. And 18 is when you really start looking at whoever the coach is, his recruit. So, I mean, you're looking at 19 and beyond. I mean, at least 2 or 3 years if you get lucky enough to get a coach that can come in running and just, you know, get all his guys.
Yeah, I think what you're hoping for is, you know, a little dip as far as that 17 class, and like you said, maybe some effects in 18, and then you start trying to build it back up again. But But clearly, this group, like you said, John, that they'll bring in next year is kind of the leftovers. I mean, they're going to have to the new staff that comes in is going to really have to target guys that were just overlooked by the other programs.
Maybe get lucky on a few.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Oklahoma, who the Bears have this weekend, Norman, as you mentioned. The Sooners look like an almost completely different team than the one that lost to Ohio State and lost to Houston at the start of the year, and did so very meekly in those games. Where does this Sooner offense right now rank in terms of Oklahoma offenses of recent vintage?
Oh, I think it's as good or better than any of them.
Wow. And they've had some Heisman
they really have.
Trophy guys.
Yeah, I mean, just the versatility there. I mean, this year, I mean, this week, they'll have Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine back.
Yes.
I mean, they didn't play last week against Iowa State, and both those guys are great backs, and they're different. You know, Samaje's a big guy. Mm-hmm. Mixon's more of an all-purpose kind of guy, but they're both really good.
And we saw what Dante Foreman did to
Baylor's
defense a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, and Baker Mayfield, obviously one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Hard to tackle. You know, he can really scramble around. And what can you say about D.D. Westbrook? A guy from Cameron, went to Blinn Junior College before going to OU. Wow, what a year he's had, especially in the Big 12.
Right.
He's got 12 touchdown catches, and they've all been in Big 12 play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's been phenomenal. So, yeah, they're going to be really hard to stop.
Yeah, I think their defense is a little down, but their offense is so much higher than it usually is that it's kind of like Baylor, last in Browell's big era, where they're like, okay, well, we got an average defense, but we're going to score pretty much every time with freaking Perine and Mixon. I mean, it's unstoppable.
Yeah.
Mayfield is the best quarterback they've had in a while, and like you talked about how good Westbrook is, it's tough. I mean, you're going to have to score 35-42 to even hang with them, and it's going to be hard.
So does Baylor have to win a shootout then, or?
Yes, I think so. I mean, look at the problems Baylor had against TCU, which was a very average offense coming in, and now they're playing a great offense.
Right.
On the road.
On the road. I'd be surprised if OU doesn't score 50.
Last time we were in Norman, wasn't it the start of the third quarter that Baylor went down and scored bam, 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 bam like that, and OU's defensive backs were playing like 10 yards off the ball.
Boy, and fans were booing.
And the fans were booing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an ugly scene.
It really was.
I think Baylor's going to have that kind of offensive performance. I agree. I think it's going to have to be one of these games where Baylor's offense shows out and just, outguns OU. I mean, and then you make a few defensive plays here and there, get a stop when you need it kind of thing. That's if they're going to pull it off, that's the way they're going to have to do it.
Well, they're going to have to play better than their offense has played the last several games.
They're going to have
to play a lot better.
Well, we've mentioned some of these guys. So Dante Foreman from Texas, number one in the country now in rushing. He had over 300 yards last week after tearing Baylor up the week before that. D.D. Westbrook, who you mentioned, the pride of Cameron Yeo, number one in the country in receiving. Texas Tech's Patrick Mahomes leading the country in passing. And you mentioned Baker Mayfield, dual threat, fun to watch, scrambles all over the field. And yet, the Associated Press had a story out today that said the Big 12 is unlikely to have any kind of representative at the Downtown Athletic Club later this season. I mean, for the Heisman Trophy ceremony. Is that fair, or are these Big 12 stars being overlooked?
Well, I think the problem is the Big 12 is kind of down this year.
Yeah.
Their teams.
As a conference.
And that really hurts, when you're trying to get some Heisman candidates up there. You look at a lot of the guys who are being mentioned as Heisman Trophy candidates. Deshaun Watson from Clemson. Lamar Jackson from Louisville, Jake Browning from Washington.
Pretty good guys.
Yeah, guys like that. I mean,
and their teams are really
good. Their teams are really good. The one guy that you mentioned, you know, possible Big 12 candidates, I would put Foreman up there. I hope he's invited to the ceremony because he's just having a phenomenal year.
And his, we talked about it when they played Baylor, but his combination of speed and just muscle and strength, it's pretty phenomenal. It's a very unique combination.
It really is. And you know, his 250 yards against Baylor paled in comparison to his game against Tech.
Right.
341 yards.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
I mean, gosh.
He's finding a groove at the right time.
Yeah, he really is. And I hope he's, you know, if they bring five candidates or so up to New York, I hope he's one of them.
Well, and sorry to interrupt you there, Brian, but was Baylor 7-5 when RG3 won? What were they?
No, they were 10-3.
Ten and three. Okay, that's right. I guess they had built up to that point, but
right.
You know, Texas is obviously not going to get to 10-3, but no. You know, I don't think you can. I don't think you necessarily should overlook really, really great players just because they play on a mediocre team.
Yeah, I mean, but they have to be really great, I think, yes. You know, if the team's mediocre.
Yeah.
I think he has, though. He's really good.
Yes, he is.
And he's getting punished for being on an average football team.
Yeah.
Where a guy like Westbrook, and I think Foreman clearly, could go for – they could play for any team in the nation and be doing what they're doing, if not better. But you guys are talking about his sneaky speed, I think. Especially kind of against Baylor was the first time I got to watch him in full, but he's big, but when he gets in the open field, he's surprisingly fast.
Yeah, you can't catch him. I mean,
what looked like 10, 12-yard gains turned into 30-yard gains, and you know, he out of those three, I think, you know, Mahomes throws the ball 190 times a game, so right. I think he can put those numbers up.
Or at least 88.
At least 88, right.
Yeah.
But I think Foreman has to. I mean, he has to. If you're looking...
He has to at least be considered.
Correct.
Yeah, I think so.
By pure talent, there's not many backs that are up there with him. And I just think that because he's playing on a team that's, what are they, 5-4, do we say that?
Right.
That he's kind of getting punished for that. And, you know, I guess that happens in every aspect of sports. MVPs get overlooked because they play for bad teams. But he has to at least be in the talk, yeah.
I think that there may be a little bit of a backlash against the Big 12 in terms of it's a league that's looked at as playing no defense.
Defensively challenged.
Sure,
defensively challenged is a good word. And so some of these guys may be, you know, overlooked because of that. You know, everybody thinks of it just as, oh, this wide open league with crazy numbers. I think people are automatically going to dismiss Patrick Mahomes because they pass it, you know, on every down.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it is a little bit of a disservice to Dante Foreman, I think, because he is legit.
Absolutely.
I mean, so, and then speaking of backlashes, we had an election this week, right?
Yeah,
yesterday, in fact, as we record this podcast. It was a backlash. We've got a new president. This was our headline in the paper today. It was too close to call at press time. But by, you know, 1 or 2 a.m., it was official. Donald Trump is our new president of the United States, if you can believe that or not. But my question to you guys is this. Forget president for a second. Let's say that Bob Bowlesby, commissioner of the Big 12, resigned his position to become AD at Texas, or, you know, president of the Longhorn Network. You know, see where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
That's where I think a lot of people could see him going. Who would make the better Big 12 commissioner, Mr. Donald J. Trump or Hillary Clinton?
Well, here's the way I see it. I think if Hillary were the commissioner, she'd be too diplomatic.
Okay.
You know, and I don't think being so...
One true champion? Like five true champions?
Well, I'm going to say being...
She's going to spread the welfare all around the Big 12.
Sure.
I'm going to say being so diplomatic, I don't think she'd get a lot done. Now, Trump, I think he'd come in here, he'd add like six teams immediately. He wouldn't even confer with the presidents. He'd just say, we're going to do this.
We're going to do it. We're it's going to be huge.
Yeah, huge, yeah. And that's just it. That's what's going to happen. So,
what do you think?
I got my answer right here.
All right. See you right there. Make the Big 12 great again. Can you see that? There we go. Make the Big 12 great again. Yeah. So how is Trump going to do that?
If he can make everyone in America believe the BS that he spat out for years now, I mean, why not the College Football Playoff Committee?
Yeah. Huh? Make the Big 12 great again. I like it. I like it. I'm with you guys. I'm fully on board with Donald Trump as Big 12 commissioner. My reasoning is different from y'all's. I just want him as Big 12 commissioner so he won't be president. So we won't have that disaster facing the entire country. Okay. We'll just sort of centralize it all on the Big 12 and let him run that into the ground instead of the whole country. But if Donald Trump isn't the next president, I want Tiny Mac Rhodes.
I can do that.
Tiny Mac Rhodes is the next commissioner of the Big 12. What do y'all think?
Sounds good.
All right. Good job.
All right.